This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yes, indeed. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Warren Sapp was already on the program, and it was a delightful chat with number 99. He was at the game last night watching his Buccaneers come back on the Saints. Not, actually. He left early, and he was honest about it. We gave him grief for it. And thankfully, he's not that angry at us. at any rate, it was a great conversation with him. CeeDee Lamb of the Cowboys about to come up. Trent Dilfer now coaching at UAB. And the delightful actress and a friend, to be quite honest, Andrea Savage will be here in studio hour number three. But we kick off hour number two with a man whose team is currently top seeded in the American Football Conference in his sixth year as head coach of the Buffalo Bills, joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line. Good to chat with Sean McDermott. How are you, Coach?
I'm great, Rich. How are you guys?
I am great. Let's just start off by hitting the way back machine. What was it like being, let me get your title correct, assistant to the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles in 2001? Sean McDermott, what was that like back then?
Yeah, that was an experience. I did a lot of things that probably most people wouldn't have wanted to do. I think my college teammates would kind of give me a hard time saying that I was responsible for all the toilets working properly at the old Vet Stadium there in Philadelphia.
Oh my gosh, when we talk about dirty work, that would be dirty work. But how did you get on the radar screen of Andy Reid and the Eagles back in that day when you're starting out?
Yeah, I started on the marketing side with the Eagles and then worked myself over to the football operations side, and then I got around Coach Reid and he brought me into the coaching side with him there.
And then you obviously worked your way up. What about that experience, that entire experience, do you bring into your experience in Buffalo, maybe every day or just maybe something that you don't even realize, but you do, Coach?
You know what was unique about it, Rich, was even though there were some jobs that, very, very small jobs, there were some jobs where I had a front row seat with Coach Reid, alongside Coach Reid, to do some things that, a lot of people don't get a chance to do, whether it was learn about the salary cap and the collective bargaining agreement, run training camp. So the whole operation of the business, I got to see from the ground up, and it gives me a lot of appreciation for those currently in our building here in Buffalo that occupy those seats.
And what a seat you occupy right now, Coach McDermott, top seed in the AFC. And then coaching a team quarterbacked by Josh Allen, who from all angles appears to be the dream come true that he is when he's playing. So my question for you is, when you see what he looks like now and has become now, how did this get nurtured? What was your plan for him that you now see the seeds that got planted then blossoming now, saying, okay, we did that properly?
Yeah, I mean, when you draft a quarterback early in the draft, you obviously you're drafting a quarterback to eventually become the face of the franchise, if not day one, somewhere down the road. And we were with Josh, and I had a front row seat, as I mentioned earlier, with Coach Reid in Philadelphia, and watching us draft Donovan McNabb, and then again in Carolina with Coach Rivera, and watching us draft and develop Cam Newton. And so I learned a lot from those situations, and we've handled it similarly here with Josh in terms of his development on the field, off the field. It's a total plan, not just what takes place on the field, but what takes place off the field is just as important.
Well, can you give me, for example, something he's doing now that part of your plan back then has allowed him to blossom? Something specific on that?
When you're talking about, just the way you handle things, specifically off the field with the media, for example, and making sure that he's groomed the right way with media, and we keep the main thing the main thing as he develops and learns the league, and so, because if you don't do your job, the fame of the job will go by fast, and then if you groom yourself the right way and go about it the right way and handle your business the right way, that fame will come after you're having great success on the field, which is what Josh has done.
I've got Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump a little bit more into the here and now What was the meeting with Odell Beckham Jr. like over the weekend, Coach?
I found it enjoyable. It was a good, solid meeting. That was my first time to meet Odell in person. Certainly coached against him for a number of years. It was great to meet him. We had a good interaction. I think he enjoyed his time, around our building, around a few of our players here as well. And just have a lot of respect for what he's been able to accomplish to this point in his career.
Who are some of the players that were available, or you made available, or you wanted to speak to? Anything like that? How did you choose who he got to connect with?
Yeah, it was more just kind of organically. He interacted with a few of our captains, a couple of our veteran players, as you'd expect, and then being around the building and just rubbing elbows with just guys that were in the building as well, which was good to see. And I thought it went well. And like I said, obviously he'll have a decision to make at some point here. But I think we have a good team, and more importantly. Have a good group of players in the locker room with good character.
Well, I mean, Jerry Jones was on his radio show today. You're on mine, which I'm greatly appreciative of. But he said that he is hesitant to sign somebody who's coming off of a knee surgery and did not work out. Did you get him to work out? Did you see him run on the field, Coach?
Yeah, no, we didn't do that. We didn't feel like it was necessary. We feel like we've got a pretty good feel for where he is in terms of his rehab. His rehab process. So, but no, we did not do that.
So then there is no hesitancy from you to bring him on board based on not seeing him test?
There's always a little bit of a projection, right? But that's where you put your faith and trust in the doctors and then individually in the player, that everything is all the I's are dotted, all the T's are crossed. And, he's come back from injury, significant injury before. So, once we get that far, I'll put my faith and trust in the medical team.
And is he wanting more than just a commitment for this year from you in Buffalo, Coach?
Yeah, I don't want to get into all that. I mean, we're just going to take it one step at a time here.
Okay, then let's talk about this year then. I mean, how significant of a contribution do you think he can make? And I understand when you're talking about this, you are very happy with the team you currently have, as well you should, but how much of a contribution do you think, would you expect him to make if he does say, let's go to Buffalo and you say, come on in?
Yeah, I think again, that's a conversation for another time. I would start off by saying I'm extremely confident in the team and the players that we do have. That's the other piece of that is really just a conversation for another time if it gets that far.
Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills head coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you take on a team for a second time, as you're about to do with the Jets, what is the challenge on that front for you?
Well, I mean, they play extremely hard. They're physical. I'll start on their offense on that side of the ball. They've done a great job. Mike White, I think, has done a great job with taking hold of that quarterback job and moving the football, and then you look at the defensive side, and they've been good for they've been very consistent this season. They're physical up front. They come off the ball. They've got pass rushers, talented on the back end, and then special teams wise, they've got a really good, really good returner, and Zerlander kickers. I think he's had a heck of a year with a lot of long-range field goals. So they've got it going in all three phases, and Coach Sala's done a phenomenal job.
So when you look at them on film now and what Mike White is doing compared to Zach Wilson and the first time you saw him, is White presenting a bigger challenge for you defensively?
I think they're two different players, and Zach's obviously very mobile and brings some things to the table that regard, and then Mike brings some other things to the table, maybe different than Zach. But I've been very impressed in the two games that he's played, and obviously they put up a ton of yards. I think 900 plus yards in two games.
Sean McDermott here on the Rich Eisen Show. Have you referred to Stephon Diggs as him in any way, shape, or form in any conversation? Have you?
I
done
love that? How you bring it back to reality here for me.
Sure, him. He's him.
He refers to himself as him. So
I,
It's like who's on first, right?
Yeah, yeah, he does. He's him.
Who are you?
Yes, yes, I'm me, you're you, and he's him. That's. I think we got that accurate. I think we have. But you don't refer to him as him. To him.
No, not to him. I think he refers to himself as him.
I see. Okay. This is like an Abbott and Costello routine. I agree. But just watching him, hold on, watching Diggs, him, perform, can you compare it to anybody you've seen? Obviously, you've been on teams with some wide receivers of note who have even made the Hall of Fame. What do you say about Diggs and what he's been able to do with your quarterback? What do you got for me there?
Yeah, he's been, you know, it's been a joy watching him, Diggs in this case.
Yes.
Come here and play at a high level and then
yes.
just really develop from a leadership standpoint as well. And when you trade for a player, you never quite know what you're getting. We felt like we knew the player, and now to watch Stephon develop in terms of his leadership and his influence on our team has been really fascinating to watch.
And, you know, it's just amazing watching you, Coach. You seem so calm. I mean, you never is your inner monologue just as calm? Or are you just really good at hiding it? What are you? Seriously.
I'm an ex-wrestler, so I think maybe I'm just good at hiding it. I don't know. I'm pretty intense inside.
Okay. So what do you mean by an ex-wrestler for those who might not have been a wrestler? What is it? So you're screaming inside? You know,
I got a little bit of fire going inside.
Okay. So between a wrestler and Ken Dorsey, what is happening inside you during a game? Like where are you closer to?
Well, what do you know about Ken Dorsey?
Well, I saw on the camera, you know, where he kind of rearranged his workspace at the end of a game, which by the way, I loved. I loved it. But you know, do you have that? Is that going on inside you too, Coach?
Oh, yeah, I think we've all been there. You know, after a challenging day's work, I think we've all been there, at least in our minds, and that just happened to play itself out on national television there. But we're all competitive. If you're in this business, and I'm sure, you know, in any business, if you want to be good at something, you got to like to compete and got to have that drive, that internal drive that makes you want to be the best.
And again, you've been around a team that's made a Super Bowl, that's for sure. So does this team have that feel for you, Coach?
We'll see. You know, we'll see. We're just going to continue to take it one game at a time. The next game is the most important game for us, and it's, like I mentioned, a good Jets football team.
Sean McDermott, I appreciate you coming on. I really enjoy watching your team. I love your quarterback, man. I love talking to him. I love what he does with kids after the game and before the game. I just think he is all kinds of him in his own way, you know. So thanks for coming on. I greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Appreciate it. And you guys have a great rest of your week here.
Right back at you. There is Sean McDermott here on the Rich Eisen Show. He has no idea how he can affect my mood this weekend. I mean, he might have an idea how he can affect my mood this weekend. Oh, I'm not referring to the Jets. I'm talking about having Gabe Davis on my fantasy team.
Me too, Rich. Okay.
It's all three of us.
Yeah. All four of us.
I should have known. I should have said, can you get it to Gabe? It's not like he's not calling the plays. What a dumb question that would be.
He does not call the plays.
He's not calling the plays. No, he's got Ken Dorsey up there.
But he can, like, say,
rearranging,
hey guys,
his workspace.
You know, Rich needs Gabe.
Hey,
here.
We need
you
a
know?
Gabe day. So, I would love a Gabe day on Sunday.
Oh,
jeez. We need a Gabe day.
Do just we? Like, where are you?
I need a win.
Where are you?
I am 5-1 my last six games, so I'm kind of out of playoffs, but I'm the hottest team in my league.
And right we know now, where
so.
Jay is. He's getting ready to get
tattooed again.
The Cleveland Browns elf Brownie tattooed deal. On his ass.
I guess I have to do
wow.
it.
Wow.
Are you in last place for sure?
I might get out of last place.
But you have to still be, but you're not going to catch River,
no,
right?
River's
you're
gonna in first. Catch I'm not going to get
oh,
him.
It's between oh, you two.
This thing's yeah. over.
Okay. Yeah, it's a wrap.
It's ice. Change your
name to Saran.
So where do I put it? Just right above where it says River already?
I don't know,
is
man.
It River the Elf?
Sure, River the Elf. How big? How big are we talking?
Small as possible.
As big as it is on the
this
50.
Is the dumbest like fantasy bet ever. You got to stop doing this. Stop doing it.
Chris.
Stop betting your friend. Like whoever finishes worse, he's got to get a tattoo of the other person's design.
This was one of your callers. I didn't come up with this.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah,
I was
just,
well, you don't have to agree to it. Some caller, you know, accused me of being Satan yesterday. I'm not going to take it to heart.
He accused you of being in the synagogue of Satan.
I had no idea what that was. Yeah. I just assumed that he thought I was satanic. I don't know what it is. Don't even tell me. I don't need to know.
So you have a whole leg open, right?
Yeah.
Let's go full thigh.
No, we don't.
No.
You're not going to go sleeve. He's not going sleeve. This is, the whole thing's dumb.
All right.
Fella, just know this. My boy Nathan Zagora, he calls the Browns games for them. If you get that tat, I'll send him the picture. Maybe they'll pop up on air or something.
I'm going to see said elf in person.
Oh.
Kurt Warner and I are calling that Saturday game, Browns and Ravens.
Nice.
On NFL Network in a couple Saturdays. Just the two of us.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the two of us. And then the following week will be all four of us in Pittsburgh.
Wait a second, Rich. I don't like this, man. You're starting to call more games. Are you trying to tell us that you're going to leave us to become a full-time broadcaster?
Or it's just like, Rich, I'm so glad that you're expanding your portfolio. It makes you more valuable, and thus the show we're all on together that much more valuable.
I hope so. I don't want you to leave.
I have no intent. What is he talking about over there? Do you need a hug? Should we hug it out?
Rich, let's go to break.
Is that what
we need a good break.
HR is chiming in on how we should go to break.
God forbid, let's have some fun at work.
We need to go to break.
844-204.
I'm all about thigh tattoos.
That's horrible for HR.
Let's go to break because CeeDee Lamb's about to join us.
Yeah.
We just found out about Odell's visit to Buffalo.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Odell's visit to Dallas with CeeDee Lamb.
Ask him where he was last night, by the way.
I know where he was last night. Nope. I know where he wasn't last night. Good. We'll ask him about that. Why is he at the Mavs game? Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
We've got playoff clinching scenarios. You know what? I'm gonna save those.
Ooh.
There's three teams that can clinch playoffs scenarios. One of them's not the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, yeah. TJ. Not yet.
I mean, it'll happen.
It's close. You're close. You're getting closer. You're sniffing it. Not sniffing around, by the way. Sniffing it. and so
I'm so angry.
Well, actually,
about
no.
That.
You're no, don't be. We're you're in a wild card spot. Two games behind the Eagles. So you're not in a bad spot.
Yeah,
right
I
now.
Like it
exactly. And you got our next guest, who has just been balling out. He is the number one receiver of the Dallas Cowboys. The question is, will he receive a new teammate who wears the number one?
Or
number three.
Yeah.
He's none other than CeeDee Lamb here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, courtesy of the Snickers Rookie Mistake of the Year campaign, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, CeeDee?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So walk me through right now how the Dallas Cowboys are a different team from the very beginning of the year, CeeDee.
Quite honestly, we're playing together. We're forming unity, and we've been going, you know, living off our motto of being very resilient this year. And I feel like throughout the ins and outs of the games this year, it proved a lot of adversity, so just overcoming that. And then sticking together, ultimately that leads to wins.
And how about you? It seems that over the last 6 weeks, your game has taken off, and you're making big time plays, acrobatic plays, the layups. You're doing it all right now, CeeDee.
just doing it all, doing what I can for my team, to, you know, to come out victorious. And it's just I'm the ultimate competitor. And when it comes to things like that, I'm willing to do whatever I have to, you know, to come out with the dub.
How much does wearing that number mean to you? I know Irv, as you know very well, at the end of the set on NFL Network for a dozen years. 88, what does that mean for you?
It means a lot. Holds me to a higher standard. And, you know, the confidence is through the roof right now. I'm just building, you know, within my team, building the confidence within my team and just playing, you know, out of the love for them and playing for the next guy. I feel like playing for more than me out there and representing a lot more than, you know, just myself. So just holding myself to a higher standard and just coming through for the guys.
What is that? What's the best piece of advice Michael Irvin's given you, CeeDee?
Just take it and run with it. Take all that comes with this jersey number and run with it. He knew he had a lot of belief in me from the time that I got drafted. So just understanding that if Michael Irvin himself has belief in me, why not believe in myself?
CeeDee Lamb here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so Odell Beckham Jr. spent some time over the last couple days. Did you see him? Did you chat with him?
Yeah, I've been topping it up with him. I ain't seen him yet, no.
Okay, so what do you say to him when you've been talking to him? He's got a decision to make today.
Yeah, it's a big day for him. Obviously, rooting for my guys to, you know, land him home, of course. But it's no secret. We want him here. We understand the things that he can do, you know, as a player for us as an offense and as a unit. To get us where we want to go.
Well, I know it's laughable to the question saying, but how does he fit? But that is a question. How does he fit? Certainly since Gallup just caught two, you got one. Pollard and Zeke have to split the ball. So how, in your estimation, would Odell Beckham Jr. fit into what is blossoming right there in Dallas?
You can never really have too many weapons. You know, at any moment, anybody can score. So adding him to the fold is another, you know, threat for the end zone.
Was there not an extra ticket for you to go to the Mavericks game last night, CeeDee? What was that?
Well, nah, I didn't get that one. I didn't get that ticket.
What happened?
I didn't get that one.
What happened? What happened?
I don't know.
That's unacceptable.
How did they decide who gets to go to the game? I don't understand.
I missed that ticket.
Well, I mean, wouldn't you want to go have courtside seats to see Luka?
Most definitely. I'm always here for some basketball and obviously being with the guys. You know, that's huge to me.
I mean, I don't mean to stir anything up. I don't understand why.
Chemistry is great right now. Don't try to stir things
up. By the way,
that's
my social media grandmaster, TJ Jefferson, who's wearing his Dallas Cowboys gear. He's got his Dallas Cowboys star. You want to read to him what's on your grease board there?
Oh, CeeDee, it's just four simple words, maybe the four greatest words in the English language, and that is, how about them Cowboys?
Yes, actually, yes. Love it.
My guy. And CeeDee was at home getting his rest last night.
Okay,
Rachel, right?
Very good. So, all right. Okay. So, what's your sense? Do you think you're going to get Odell Beckham as a teammate?
I'm hoping. That's what I'm leaning towards. You know, you can't really get your hopes up too high in this league. I've learned that, you know, the hard way. So, I'm at this point, I'm just excited to see where he goes.
CeeDee Lamb here on the Rich Eisen Show. You're partnering with Snickers this year for the Snickers Rookie Mistake of the Year program, rewarding fans during the NFL season for sharing their own rookie mistakes. You want to share yours?
My rookie mistake?
Yeah. I'll share mine. You share yours, I'll share mine.
It's not your crazy rookie mistake, but it's for sure one of them. My first away game, like my first game in the NFL, we played the Rams. I was supposed to go get, you know, the food for the guys, my position group in my room. And I ended up being late. I almost missed the flight. So I almost missed my first game, ultimately, in the NFL.
What?
That was crazy.
All right. Well, crazy. I need more details. What?
So, like, I was getting the food for, you know, my position room, right? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to bring it to, it's an away game. So all the rookies have to, you know, for your room, your breakfast shirt, mm-hmm. you're obligated to bring, you know, food for the guys, for the tribal guys. And, yeah, I got mine. And then I called in and everything, and I still ended up being late at the spot that I was supposed to pick up for the guy, and ended up having to speed all the way to the plane, almost in the plane, actually. I was about, like,
because you were trying to get food. You're trying to get food for like Amari Cooper and all those.
MG, Noah Brown, Sam Wilson, all those guys. Crazy.
Oh. So you were stuck on some like drive-through line or something like that. Is that what happened? Like
the pickup line was long. Yeah, the pickup line. Was
oh my God! Well, here's
that line, Rich.
Here's my rookie mistake, CeeDee Lamb. I'm a sports anchor in a TV station in Redding, California, the ABC affiliate. Dreaming of being on SportsCenter one day, and I was sending tapes everywhere from my spot in Redding, California. And I left my resume in the copy machine and the news director found it and placed it on my desk with a post-it note saying you left this in the copy machine. That's my rookie mistake.
I think you might need that. I think you might need your resume.
Well, I needed my resume. Thankfully, I wasn't fired and I wound up on SportsCenter anyway. You know, and you almost missed your first game and you wound up in the Pro Bowl and being a star for the Dallas Cowboys anyway. You know what I'm saying? So.
Definitely. It sounded like you probably needed a Snickers for that, by the way.
Perhaps I should go ahead and go to snickers.com/rookie mistake and put in my entry. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Go submit it. You got to.
That's what I will do. Okay. Very good. So are you going to jump in the kettle or what? What's happening? what's going on with that, CD? What's happening?
Nah, unfortunately, I would not. I'm going to leave that all up to the guys that can afford the fine.
Are you saying you're still on your rookie contract, CD? Is that a way of saying that?
Yeah, you can do what you want with the word.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right, CeeDee Lamb, thanks for the time. So how about this? Do I see you in the Super Bowl this year? What do you think?
Definitely. You should see me there.
Okay. In the game, I meant. I know you'll probably
be. In uniform, should I say. Let me be.
You will be in uniform for the Super Bowl this year, CeeDee Lamb.
Most definitely.
Let's go.
Most definitely. Okay, will Odell Beckham Jr. be in uniform with you at the Super Bowl this year, CeeDee?
You should.
Very good. Thank you, CeeDee Lamb. You take care of yourself.
First thing.
You got it. At CD3 on Twitter, at C2X and many underscores on Instagram right here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right. So they're going to the Super Bowl.
That's my guy.
Good to know.
I didn't like you putting him in that position, Rich.
Why?
You know, because you made him have to say something that now we're going to have to back up on the field.
I saw, who was it recently? I don't know who it was in our business. Was it Orlovsky who said if these Cowboys don't make it to the NFC Championship game, it's a complete...
It was Dan, yeah.
Failed season.
Yep.
You could make the case they're one of the two best teams in the NFC right now. And certainly with Brock Purdy, who we need to see.
Purdy to me.
You can make the case. What was your overreaction? It's going to be Eagles Cowboys in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And I said it was an overreaction just because you never know how the seeding works out, right? Like for instance, last year Bills and Chiefs. You could have said it'll be Bills Chiefs AFC Championship game, but the way the seeding broke down, it was a divisional playoff game. Mm-hmm. You know. So,
I got a question for you right now.
Okay, what's your question?
Dallas currently the fifth seed in the NFC. Now, if I look at the fifth seed in the AFC, which do you have more confidence in to make championship weekend, Cowboys or Bengals?
Bengals. I didn't stutter, did I? Did I stutter? Bengals.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then the Cowboys to make championship weekend?
With all due respect... And I means, as you know, on the Rich Eisen Show, that means I could say the most disrespectful thing I please from here on out, because I have just said this is with all due respect. I've covered my flank.
Yeah.
No, but with all due respect, who's been to the Super Bowl in the championship game more recently? Which quarterback? Which coach? Which team? Honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
And which team? Year, and which yes. team? Which team has shown? Over a long period of time, how can I say this? A proclivity to step on its own Johnson at the worst appropriate time. Okay. Joe Burrow, man, I would take the Bengals in that one. And I know, put it out on our Twitter poll. I bet you I will lose 80 to 20. 80 to 20.
You think 80-20 Cowboys
right
now?
Oh, yes, it would be.
All right, it's out. At Rich Eisen Show right now, or call us.
80-20. Because the chances that the Chiefs and the Bills cancel each other out again, or cancel one the other out, is, I you know, right? One's going to be one, one's going to be two. Or what if one's two and one's three? If one's two and one's three, and the Bengals win the one seed, then the Bengals have a great shot to not see them. Just like last year, not to see both of them. Because your one seed will most likely avoid the two and the three in succession. For sure.
Let's go down, the line.
Just off the top of my head, I would say that the Bengals have a real let's just put it this way also. The Bengals have a much better shot to win the one seed in the AFC than the Cowboys have it in the NFC. Cowboys are two out of the one seed and currently do not have the tiebreak over the one seed.
True.
Right now, the Bengals have the tiebreak over every team in the AFC playoff spot right now. Any team in the AFC playoff spot, the Bengals have a tiebreak over, except the Ravens and the Bills. And the Ravens, they'll play last, and the Bills, they play second to the last. So they have a chance to overtake both of them. Both of them. They have a much better shot at the one seed than the Dallas Cowboys have it in the NFC. So that's another reason why I'll take them. This is much more nuanced than hitting just a button on Twitter.
Well, nobody's here for nuance. Let's go right down the line. Bills, Eagles.
Oh, you want
more confidence in to reach championship weekend?
Oh man,
let's just go right down the line.
Eagles, because again, the NFC is an easier path to the basket.
Chiefs, Vikings.
Chiefs.
Ravens, 49ers.
49ers.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
MVP or Mr. Irrelevant? Okay.
MVP is out. Adam Schefter is just reporting he's out for 1 to 3 weeks. So they might have to go on the road and win three playoff games in order to get to the Super Bowl. And how's that offense looked over the last month plus with Lamar healthy?
Not great. Titans or Bucks?
I'll take the Bucks. I'll take Tom Brady over Tannehill, okay, who may or may not have been the MF-er in question from the shop.
All right, let's skip to the sixth seed. Dolphins or Giants?
Dolphins.
Jets, Seahawks.
Jets.
Not buying.
Fun endeavor. Right off the dome. But I mean, I'm not buying the Seahawks. I'm buying the Jets more.
Really?
Yes.
Geno's been a top, what, five quarterback this year?
Jets have a much better defense. Much better.
That's fair.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
No problem.
I appreciate for you allowing that's a fair take. And here are the playoff clinching scenarios that we have for week 14. I've got them right here in my hand. And for those on the radio, you can hear I have something in my hand. Here they are. And here, I feel like this is, what was that the dating game? And here they are. Is that what it was? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm looking at you, and you're like, Rich, I wasn't even born. You old man. Also, look at you, and here they are.
The dating game premiered in 1965.
A little bit before.
I premiered in 1969.
Okay, great.
All right.
Do you want music is why I was looking at you.
Give me NFL Films music.
All right.
I'll take it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you asking.
No problem.
It gets me in the mood. Minnesota Vikings have a playoff clinching scenario, just like last week. Last week, they needed to win and have the Lions lose in order to get in. Lions didn't lose. They're like, we're not just going to go ahead and be part of your scenario. Well, this week they are, because all the Minnesota Vikings need to do is win at the Lions and they're in. Or tie. Tie at the Lions. You could say, well, what are the chances of a tie? We just saw one, right? So I'm now having a conversation with myself. Win or tie at the Lions, and the Vikings print a playoff ticket for their own home. They would clinch the division. It'd be over. But the Lions are no longer a homecoming, as you know.
The Lions are favored in this game.
How about that?
That's insane. The disrespect for the Vikings is so real.
So I'm assuming they're flying to Detroit so that we could see maybe a shirts off, chains on division celebration video.
Sure.
If they win that
game. Got to be a quick fight.
The Philadelphia Eagles have a playoff clinching scenario. Last week they needed some help with a win. This week they don't. All they got to do is beat the New York football Giants, and they clinch a playoff berth. The division's not clinched. They get at least a spot in the dance. Or if the 49ers lose to Tampa and the Seahawks wind up losing, who do they play this week? I think I saw it was a somewhat winnable game, if I had noticed.
Seahawks, home for Carolina.
Yeah, there you go. So I would just say the Eagles, if they want to get a playoff spot this weekend, just go ahead and beat the Giants. And then there's the first playoff clinching scenario in the AFC that we've seen. It belongs to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hey, now.
All they have to do is beat the Denver Broncos in Denver and get what Chris Brockman thinks isn't happening. The Chargers loss against the Dolphins on Sunday Night Football. So according to Chris Brockman, this will not be a clinching scenario, according to me and TJ Jefferson. The Chiefs will, in fact, win the division that I said the Raiders would win, officially clinching my take of the Raiders winning this division as the worst take I've ever had on this program, football-wise. Me saying the Heat should not break up their team to trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo still, I think, would still be in the clubhouse. If the Raiders are making this run, if the Raiders make the playoffs, the Giannis take is the worst take I've ever had. But the Chiefs clinching the division in week 14 that I said they would lose, doesn't reflect well on me. I'll be very, very, very honest.
Look, you took a shot, man.
I did take a shot.
The Bears blew three 17-point leads. They should be 8-4. Okay,
so yeah, like, they should be in the mix.
You weren't way off.
Thanks. I appreciate you having my back there.
We're friends.
That's odd, man.
We're not so. We're friends, but you're very stingy. You're very stingy with having my back.
Only when it comes to Michigan.
Very stingy.
Competitive.
Only when it comes to the sports event that might make me the happiest.
Not just Michigan, Chris.
And you don't Yankees, but the Yankees, he's got a team in that hunt. Please, please, please. Yankees, Red Sox is all bets are off. I get it. Yankees,
you're okay with that.
And Jets Patriots, I get. But the Michigan distaste and my excitement for Michigan, I don't understand it. That's where I take it personally.
It's because Michigan people carry themselves with an air of, you know.
No, we don't. Excuse me. You know why? Hold on a second. We don't carry ourselves with an air of arrogance. You know why? Because we're high-class people.
Round one fight.
Did I just undercut my point?
I mean, slightly.
No. We don't make this argument. We don't argue in this
arena. With people beneath you. Is that what you're saying?
We don't argue this point. You know why? Because we're smarter than that. Because
you're above it.
It's punching down.
Thank you.
You're above it.
Uh-huh.
It's not a lie. Mm-hmm. If you believe it.
Thanks, George.
Maxwell.
All right, we'll come back. Robert Saleh's made a quarterback announcement.
Oh.
Oh.
We'll talk about it.
That my buddy's officially the starter?
We'll talk about it. And then in hour number three, Trent Dilfer will join us, the new coach of UAB football. And then the delightful Andrea Savage of Tulsa King will be joining us in studio. That's how we're rolling on this fun Tuesday.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
A lot of papers.
Yeah, right.
Hey!
There are a lot of papers.
I got a lot going on over here. All right? I'm not just a guy in a good, handsome shirt talking sports and fun and pop culture.
Much more than that.
I am. I'm deeper.
What is happening?
I like you mentioned that because anytime people find out what I do, Rich, they're always like, so you talk about sports. And I'm like, nah, man.
Not just that.
We talk about life. Like,
you started this show by saying you haven't worn jeans in a year.
And I haven't.
What does that have to do with the Bucks winning last night at the last second or the Titans dispatching their general manager amidst an AFC South championship season.
What the hell was that about today? Are we going to find out, like, the real, real story, or is it just like...
If I had a guess...
Hey, A.J. Brown lit us up. We didn't re-sign him. You're out.
I think it could be that.
That is insane.
I think it could be that. And as I mentioned, when the news first came out, when the news first hit in the first hour of the program, my first thought was, okay, A.J. Brown traded away on draft night. Rather get a new kid who's the same comp as him in terms of his height and his weight and speed and the whole business, the whole package. Let's get the young kid and hope he's the next A.J. Brown rather than paying A.J. Brown to stay.
Right.
And now this team is a lot of Derrick Henry, and if there's no Derrick Henry, who else?
Right.
Well, and who's taking the top off? Who's the guy that outside of Derrick Henry, the defensive coordinators playing them are afraid about? Circling. Can't let this guy beat us. Because if you're circling Derrick Henry and say, we can't let this guy beat us, and he doesn't beat you, then what now? And A.J. Brown just lit them up. And Philadelphia is 11-1. And
I mean, shout out Treylon Burks, like before he got hurt in the Philly game, that wasn't a touchdown catch, an amazing catch.
Yeah, I know.
The two games previous, he'd been balling, 11 catches for almost 200 yards.
But he had the dreaded turf toe before it. I believe it's what he was hurt.
Yeah, he had a slow start.
And so he was hurt, and now he's back, and A.J. Brown is A.J. Brown. And I just can't shake out of my skull Mike Vrabel on this show back in the spring prior to the draft when I asked him about the A.J. Brown trade rumors, and this is what he had to say. Is A.J. Brown on the trade block, Mike Vrabel?
As long as I'm the head coach, I love A.J. professionally, personally. I've gotten to know him well as his coach and enjoy seeing him as much as I possibly can. So as long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have A.J. Brown on my football team.
Couple weeks later, he was traded. And clearly, Mike Vrabel is not making the roster decisions there because you just heard how he wanted A.J. Brown on the team. As long as I'm the coach here, I would want him here. He's still the coach there. And that's the reigning coach of the year saying that. And a guy who is so plugged into his team and they to him, it's uncanny. And now the general manager who made this decision, it appears, is out right after A.J. Brown torches him. What else could there be? I know that you're already seeing on Twitter there has to be something else. There has to be something else because this is a team that's going to win their division. They will have a home playoff game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just it could be. You know, something like that happening kind of so abruptly just doesn't pass the smell test.
Right now.
Doesn't pass the sniff test.
Right now, it would be a rematch if the season ended today. It would be a rematch of the game we saw 2 weeks ago, Cincinnati at Tennessee, the same game that cost them last playoffs. The same team that bounced them last year. And I don't believe Cincinnati's going to be there. You know, I think Cincinnati's going to win this division. I feel that. The Ravens will have an opportunity in front of my face to prove me wrong when I call their game against the Browns in a couple of Saturdays. But what else could there be? I don't know. There's always stuff bubbling beneath the surface. But coach says, as long as I'm the coach, I want him here. Not as long as I'm the coach, we're trading him. Well, the reigning coach of the year, then a few weeks later, saw him traded on a draft night. And then even though the rookie they replaced him with had a tremendous touchdown grab, you could see when Derrick Henry wasn't working, there was no other gear. And Burks was out. There's nothing else there. There's no oomph there. And the other team that just beat him has a ton of oomph. They ran for 300-some-odd yards the week before and passed for 300-some-odd yards this time. And A.J. Brown was the guy who punked him. Punked. Had one touchdown called back because he had a toe on the line. And then the next play, he runs the defender over. And the defender's the one called for illegal contact as he is wide open for the touchdown anyway on the next play.
Ridiculous, man.
And maybe an owner looks at the general manager and is like, okay, I can't have this. I don't know what else. That's just pure speculation answering a question. Yeah. What happened? Yeah. Trent Dilfer coming up. Andrea Savage in studio, hour 3.